Hey, Harvest, thank you for worshiping with us today. I want to tell you about a couple of things that are coming up. The first is that we are going to be selling fireworks here in just a couple of weeks, starting on July the 1st through the 4th. I'll actually put a video out later with a lot more details about why we're doing this and where the funds are going, but I hope you'll start signing up. There's a sign up in the link in the comments right now, and sign up for a shift or two or three. They're 4-hour shifts. We only have 4 days to fill. I hope you'll come out and help us with that. Also, we have another convoy event coming up this coming Saturday. A lot of you have already signed up, but if you want to help us on the 27th, be sure to sign up to come and help us volunteer for this big event as we continue to love our city in epic proportions, which leads me to this idea. I've been pondering this for a couple of weeks now. I really believe that when we're generous, it creates more generosity. It's like someone just has to get the ball rolling. And I love that we are often the ones that gets the ball rolling. You know, several weeks ago, we said yes to Convoy. When that happened, so many other people began to say yes, begin to come on board. Harvest, I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud to be part of such a generous church. And as generous as we are, I'm just going to tell you the prayer I've been praying. I've been praying that we would be even more generous. So I want to pray for you right now. Whatever your situation is, some of you still have jobs. Some of you, that job situation has changed. But I believe that God wants to stir generosity within us. So can I pray for you now as we think about this idea that generosity creates generosity? Jesus, I pray for my friends right now. What an amazing, generous church that we are a part of. I pray that your blessing and your favor would rest on each and every person, every family. Lord, we look to you as our provision, not our jobs. And we thank you for how you have taken care of us. And Lord, help us to be even more generous than we've been. And as that happens, create a movement of generosity across our city. Jesus, we pray this today in your name. Amen. I hope you're ready for a fantastic Father's Day message from my friend, my mentor, Pastor Scott Wilson. I can't wait.
Hey, everybody. I'm Pastor Scott Wilson, and I am so honored to be with you guys at Harvest Church today. I know you probably know it, but I'm going to tell you anyway. Your pastors, Pastor Jason and Lisa, are the greatest pastors on the planet. I've been knowing them before they were even married, and I'm telling you, they're some of my favorite people. They're amazing. And your church is amazing. What you guys are doing, 30,000 pounds of food every single weekend this month to serve the community and to help you guys. What you're doing, you are being Jesus in the flesh in your community. I'm so proud of you and all that you're doing. I'm also very excited today that this is Father's Day. So if there's a dad next to you or somewhere around, you kind of give him, hey, way to go, dad, or high five or a hug, whatever you'd like to do just to let them know that you love them and they're important. And I'm so thankful that Pastor Jason let me preach on Father's Day for you guys in this series you're doing called Family Essentials. So I'm gonna pray and then we're gonna get to the word, okay? Let's pray together. God, I thank you for Harvest Church. I thank you for Pastor Jason and Lisa, and I pray your blessings be upon them. Lord, in every weekend of outreach, I pray the love that you have shown them that they're sharing to the community, it would make a difference and lives would come to know you because of this. I pray today for every dad that you'd give them strength and your grace be upon them. And I pray for everybody here who maybe has dad issues and just hurts in their heart. Today, this message is for them. And I pray that you would just touch every heart and heal every wound in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today, I feel like on this Father's Day, God's given me a word for you. And thank God for every father that is in the room or a part of this church that is being faithful and being a dad that loves your kids and is there for your kids and is engaged with your children. Thank God for that, because not everybody has that. So thank you for your faithfulness, and we honor you today. But today, the word the Lord gave me for you is not just for dads, it's for every single one of us. Because every single one of us have a heavenly Father who loves us deeply and perfectly. And today I felt like the Lord just wanted me to talk to you about how much he loves you as your dad. He wanted me to just share with you about his heart for you. And on this Father's Day, he just wants you to know you got a perfect dad who loves you perfectly. Now, I had a great dad growing up. My dad, every morning when we went to school until I got my driver's license, let me tell you how it was. We got in the car, and as we drove to school, we had to memorize scripture verses. Yeah, every other kid I knew, they could study for their tests. They could take a, you know, keep sleeping until they got to school, listen to music. Not us. We were memorizing scriptures, me and my brothers. And that was every day, every morning. Until I got my driver's license. And it would go like this. We'd be driving to school. My dad go, okay, this is the verse we're memorizing this week. And we'd go over it line by line. And then at the end of the week, he'd go, okay, who's got it? Scott, let's hear it. And I'd go, okay, now where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into his image from glory to ever increasing glory. And he'd go, okay, Brent, what you got? You know, and we'd go through the verses together. And then after we did our verses, he would pray over us. And my dad would pray, God, touch my boys. Help them today to live in alignment with your will. Help them to know that you are for them and with them. Let them be a witness today. Let them learn a lot today. Help them to grow in you. He'd pray like that. And then he'd say, God bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. And then about that time, we'd pull up to the school. He'd say, okay, before you get out, boys, tell me the family verse. And we'd all say, let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Psalm 19:14. See you, Dad. It was like, see you, Dad, was part of the verse. As we got out of the car, slammed the door and ran in to school. I think back about those times and I go, man, that's pretty awesome that I had a dad who cared enough about us and our spiritual development of knowing God, that he wanted us to not only know the word, but to memorize the word. I'm thankful for that. Now, I didn't care much for it at the time, but now I'm very grateful. And I think I've been thinking a lot about that stuff this year, because this year my dad passed away. It was this last August that my dad died. He had Lewy body dementia, which is a type of Alzheimer's. And man, it really took its toll on him. I mean, before he died, it was like he was already gone, because he lost his memory. He started thinking and it just attacked his mind, you know, and it was just terrible. So I think I've been thinking a lot about my dad this year because of that. And it was tough. You know, there in the last few months, he was in a memory care center. And there were times that, you know, I remember the first time I walked in and he didn't know who I was. I walked in and walked right over by him. He's talking to a nurse. And as I walked over, I thought for sure he'd go, hey, Scott, you know, which he had done a million times in my life when I walked in a room, excited to see me. But when I walked in this time, he kind of looked at me like, hey, wait your turn. I'm talking to her. And he said something to her like, hey, that thing we were doing yesterday, we're going to do that today. Something that didn't even totally make sense. The nurse, knowing who I was, told him, said, hey, who's that sitting next to you? Who's that standing next to you there? And he looked over at me and he goes, well, he sure is a fine looking man, like that. And then he said, she said, well, no, look at him again. Who is that? And he said, well, I'm sure he's somebody that looks very familiar to me, but I can't quite place it. She said, look at him one more time and see. And he goes, well, listen, lady, if you want to know who he is so badly, why don't you ask him yourself? Dad's pretty smart, isn't he? And so I turned to him and I just put my hand on his shoulders and I said, hey, look at me. Listen to my voice. You know who I am. And he looked up, he looked forward like this, squinting his eyes like he was trying to look into my soul. And he said, Scott? Is it Scott? Is that you? Hey, it's Scott. Then he turned to all the other people in the memory care, like in that living room area, and he said, it's my son. It's Scott. Scott's here, like this. And he announced me to everyone. And I'm telling you, such mixed emotions. I was just about to bust out crying. It was just a strange deal. And here we sat down that day and I was just thinking, here's a guy who has his doctorate in education, just an amazing man who taught me how to pray, taught me the word of God, basically taught me all the things I knew, And sitting by him, just sad and grateful at the same time. I had a great dad. But it doesn't mean I don't have dad issues. In fact, I think probably you are just like me, that you may, and whether you had a good dad, bad dad, whatever, guess what? I think every one of us have dad issues and every one of us have mom issues because we're human. And our parents are human. So it's kind of like this. Let's see, if you were like me and you had a good dad, let's say that's right here. And if you had a bad dad or an absent dad, that's way down here. So it's kind of like this, right? That's kind of the distance. Maybe it's more, whatever. It's all relative in this sense that I want to say this. But all of us have dad issues, because good dad to bad dad may look like this, but good dad to perfect dad is from here to heaven. It's a huge gap. Every single one of us have places in our heart that for whatever reason we didn't have filled from our father or from our mother. There's places that are gaps. There's places that are wounds, things that were said, things that were done, things that weren't done that left a hole or left a wound. And the Bible is so good that it tells us this, that God speaks to us and he says, I will be a father to the fatherless. And that doesn't just mean he'll be a dad to those of us who don't have a dad. It means that he's going to be a dad to us in the areas that our dads didn't do well. He's going to be a father or a mother to us in the places that there's gaping holes, he's going to fill them in. And where there's wounds, he's going to heal them. Because he's a perfect dad who loves you perfectly. And today, that's what he wanted me to tell you. That no matter what has happened in your past, no matter what you didn't get or what happened to you, he's a perfect father who loves you perfectly. And he wants you to know that. You know why? Because you need to know that. You will never be fulfilled in your soul and never be healed in your soul and in your mind until you are intimately connected to the Heavenly Father and you receive the grace and the healing he has for you. You know, this isn't just true for me. It isn't just true for you. Guess what? It was true for Jesus when he was here on the earth as a man himself. He needed that intimate connection with the Father to receive this healing, to receive the. You say, well, how do you know that? Well, Luke 3, verse 22, the second part, it says the voice when Jesus was being baptized. You remember that? Jesus being baptized. It says a voice spoke from heaven. It was the Father. And he said this, you are my son, who I love, in whom I am well pleased. What? It's a small verse, but a huge verse in what it meant to Jesus and what it means to us. Notice that the Father is speaking to Jesus in the core issues of what every son and what every daughter needs to have and to hear from their father. It's the places that are the core essentials for them, the family essentials we're talking about here, that this is what he needs to hear from the father. What is it? He says, you are my son, which speaks to identity. Notice that the father could have announced and said, you are the Messiah, you are the Christ, you are the promised one, you know, but he didn't. Why? Because the identity that God wanted Jesus to have wasn't wrapped up in his calling. It was wrapped up in, he's my son. You're my son. I'm your dad. That's identity. He spoke to him in affection, where he says, I love you. And every one of us, we need to hear that at the core of our being, that our identity is in the Father, that our affection comes from the Father in this way, that we feel his love for us. And then the third thing is, he says, and I'm well pleased with you. I'm proud of you. I'm pleased with you. And that's affirmation. All of us need this at the core of our being from our parents. We're needing this, our identity, affection, affirmation. Some of us got it, some of us didn't. And yet this is what the Father spoke to Jesus in that moment. Isn't it interesting that Jesus hadn't done one miracle yet? He hadn't preached one message yet. He hadn't called a disciple yet. He hadn't done one thing. He hadn't gone to the cross. He hadn't done anything, right? So when the Father says, you're my son, I love you and I'm well pleased with you. It wasn't based on his performance. It wasn't based on what he did or had not done. It was based on who he was to the Father. You're my son. I love you. I'm well pleased with you. This identity stuff here is so huge, guys. I mean, it's big to me. When I walked in and my dad didn't know who I was, why was that such a big deal to me? Well, duh, he's my dad. My identity is wrapped up that I'm Scott Wilson, Tom Wilson's son. And if my dad doesn't know who I am, I mean, that hits and causes me to feel all kinds of weird things subconsciously about who am I? What am I doing? My dad doesn't know me. I mean, it hit me to the core of my being. And when he turned around and said, "It's my son," and he announced me to the room, the sadness with the joy and the to be announced, to be claimed, was a big deal. But let me tell you something, what I have found in this year, what I wanted from my earthly father is what I desperately need from my heavenly father. It's the same thing with you. I want to be known and announced by my earthly father, but I'm telling you what I need the most is to hear the Father when I spend time with him, when I read the word, for him to speak into my heart that you're my son. I've adopted you and you are the one I have chosen and I love you. You are important. You are my son. That's who you are. No matter what you do, no matter the sin that you've done, no matter what, let me tell you something. You're my son. Man, I need that. And talk about this affection deal that he loved Jesus. I need that in my life. You know, when I went in and talked to my dad that day and he said, "This is my son," right? I told him, I said, "Hey, Dad, you want to go play the piano or something?" Because my dad was an incredible pianist. Think Jerry Lee Lewis style, you know, Jimmy Swaggart, that type of thing, right? And so there's a piano there in the memory care place. And so we had been playing every now and then, but I guess he didn't want to do that anymore. The last time I'd been there, I said, "You want to play the piano?" "Yeah, let's play the piano." He went over and, man, my dad, incredible pianist. But he got down and he couldn't remember which key he was. And I'm not talking about like he was strategically changing keys. In the middle of it, he was doing different keys as he's singing different songs. We're trying to sing. It was just awkward. And when we got done, he just got done. And I think he knew, maybe he didn't know why it was bad, but he just knew it didn't sound good. So he got done. He looked at me and said, "Son, this piano is terrible." As if it was the piano's fault. And I said, "Well, Dad, do you want me to play?" And he said, "Sure, yeah, let's do that." So he got over and sat down. I thought, what song could I play on the piano that and we could sing together that for sure he would know? And I thought, "Amazing Grace." How could, I mean, what song, he's got to know this. So I start playing it and I'm singing "Amazing Grace, how sweet the..." Sing it, Dad. He started... He was whistling because he couldn't remember the words, but he kind of knew the tune. So he's like whistling over here like this. And when we got done, he looked at me and he goes, "Well, son, anybody can play good if you're going to play that loud." And I go, "Well, that's true. That's true, Dad." So I guess on this day he was done with the piano because I said, "You want to go play the piano?" He says, "No, son. Why would I play the piano when you're here? I want to speak with you and talk with you and be with you. I don't want to miss a moment." So we go sit down on the couch and I'll never forget it. That he couldn't really make a lot of sense in what he was saying, except for the fact that he kept grabbing me by my face like this and pulling me forward and kissing me on my head and kissing me on my cheek and just saying, "I just love you. I just love you. You are the best son. I love you, son." And then it would go off to nonsense and he'd come back, grab my face and kiss me again. And tears, I kept wiping the tears from my eyes. And as I got out to my car, I just busted out crying. All the emotions I was holding inside in there, I busted out in the car. And I just remember putting my head on the steering wheel and crying and just saying, "God help me. God help my dad. God help me." I'm just crying. And I felt in that moment that God spoke to my heart. And he said, "You know, when you were in there and you were hugging your dad, I just want you to know I was right behind you hugging you. You know, when you're at home and you're crying and you're praying and you're going, 'I don't know what to do. And how's my mama going to handle this? And what about dad? And how are we going to take care of him?' Just want you to know when you're praying and when you're sitting there crying, I'm hugging you." You know, when you're hurting and you don't know how you're going to make it and all these other issues of life, I just want you to know I'm there hugging you, kissing your face, and I love you. I need that. I want that from my dad. It meant, I'll never forget that time on the couch of him just kissing my face and saying how much he loved me. But I'll never really ever at the core of my being forget when the Father said that to me. And when he told me he's pleased with me. I mean, that's a big deal. I mean, to me, that the affirmation, I'm constant. I don't know if it's because words of affirmation is like a love language to me, but it's like I need to hear I'm doing good and that I'm okay and that, you know, Dad's pleased with me. I remember a few months, it was about 6-7 months before Dad passed. He still had good days and bad days. And I called my mom and I said, I really feel like I want to take Dad out, just me and him, and just to kind of talk with him. You know what was in my heart, guys? What was in my heart is maybe we could have a clear moment that I just needed to ask my dad, did he think I was doing okay as a pastor? He'd been my pastor my whole life, and now I was the pastor following him at the church, and he'd be there on Sundays and different things. And I just needed to hear from him. Did he think I was doing okay? I just wanted it one more time to hear it if I could. And I called my mom. She said, I think if you come maybe tomorrow night, I think it'd be a good time. I'll tell him and we'll have him ready. And when I got to their place at the memory care place, or at that time they were in their apartment, when I got to the apartment, he had been sitting, she said, he's been sitting in that chair for an hour waiting for you. And he was just sitting there all dressed up in his chair, looking at the door. And when I walked in, he says, he's here, let's go. and she says, he's been waiting there an hour for you. He's excited. And I had him on a good night. So we got in the car. I said, I thought we'd go get a steak. What do you think? That sounds good to me. And so we went over to a steak place and it took us 3 hours to eat because the guy just cuts his salad. He got a salad. He just cuts every piece of lettuce, you know, but that's okay. I was with my dad. Dad, you know, with the Lewy body dementia, he would be so focused in on different things. And so no matter what I would talk about or whatever, it would come back to those things. He had just been with my brother Dallas in Houston, where he pastors, and he had just been with him. And he was telling me how great Dallas is doing. And man, he's a good pastor. That church loves him. He's doing a good job. He's a good pastor like that. And then he started talking about what was happening with the kids from Mexico coming across the border. And at that time, it was a real big struggle in the news. So he's singing all the time. He says, you know, son, we've got to build 24 schools and churches on the border. I said, what border? The Mexican border. These kids are coming over and we need to make billboards that when they come across the border, it says, welcome to your window of opportunity, Life School and Oaks Church. This is the time we've got to help them. They have no hope without Jesus, and they have no hope and future without education. Here he is, losing his mind, but he's fixated on reaching kids and helping kids. We get in the car, and as I get in the car, I said, Dad, you know, is there any way that I could just ask you something? Sure. I said, well, I know that Dallas is doing good in Houston, because every time I'd ask him, hey, do you remember us working together on staff? He'd go, yeah, you did just as good as Dallas. He would say that to me. And as I got in the car, I said, I know Dallas is doing good and everything, but do you think that we could just talk for a moment? How do you think I'm doing? Do you think I'm doing okay as a pastor? And here we are sitting in the front seat of my car, and he looks over at me. He says, oh, son. And tears come to his eyes. Oh, son, you're the greatest pastor I've ever seen. You're such a man of God. When you preach, the anointing of God is on your life. Every week I just sit there and I said, oh, God, thank you for my son. And thank you for what you're doing in our church. Son, I couldn't be prouder. You're doing a great job. And I said, Dad, do you think you could just pray over me? You think that maybe you could just pray that God would help me to be everything he wants me to be? And could you just pray over me? And I'm telling you, in that moment, in that car, I felt like I'd gone back to being 5 years old on the way to school. As I bowed my head and he put his hands on my neck like this and on my head. And he said, oh, Lord, just pray you touch my son. Help him to live in alignment with you. Help him to follow you in everything he does. Help him to know that you love him and you're for him. And strengthen him in every way. God, thank you for the blessing on his life. Just keep using him. And God, help those kids coming across the border. And God, thank you that Dallas is doing so good. Amen. But can I tell you what? I know he's fixated on those things, but man, whether I was 5 years old or 50, I still needed to have that prayer and I still needed to have that affirmation from my dad. But I'm telling you, more than that, I need the moments when the Father's telling me, I'm pleased with you. You know, one of the greatest revelations I ever had in life is when I was reading the Bible and I realized that the Bible says that God, this is how it says in the King James, has imputed unto us the righteousness of Christ. You know what that means? I don't impute it. It's kind of weird. It's like a deposit. It basically means this. You have a spiritual bank account. And when Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead, and if you gave your life to Jesus, he forgives every sin debt you have. So like everything that's in your account that you owe this. I'm talking about on the sin issues. The wage of sin is death. All your debt that you could never pay when you receive Jesus is wiped out. But guess what? It gets better than that. Not only are you, it's not like you just get all your sin wiped out and now you're at zero. No, the Bible says he is now, God has deposited into the account, your spiritual account, every righteous thing of Jesus. Every righteous part of who Jesus is has now been put in your account. You went from massive debt to massive spiritual wealth in the eyes of God. That's what it means. This is why he can look at you, whether you've done good things or not. This is how he can look at me, whether I've sinned or not sinned or messed up or whatever. And he says, I am well pleased with you. Jesus, listen to this, guys. You got to listen. If you haven't listened to anything else, you got to hear this. In John 17, Jesus is praying right before he goes to the cross. And you know what he's praying for? He's praying for you. And he's praying for me. He says, Father, I pray for those you've given me. Talking about the disciples. And he says, and I'm praying for those who will believe their testimony of me. That's every one of us. He says, I'm praying that they would know this. What is it he's praying? He says, I pray that they would know that the same way you love me is the way you love them. I pray that they would know that you love them in the same way you love me, Jesus says. What? So when the Father says to Jesus at the baptism, where all of us can hear it, you are my son, I love you, and I am well pleased with you. Guess what? Jesus says, I want them to know that's exactly how you feel about them. Right now, the Father is announcing to every single one of you, through me, he's telling me to tell you, you're his son, for real. You're his daughter, for real. You are not, your identity is not wrapped up in a calling. Your identity is not wrapped up in your vocation. Your identity is not wrapped up in anything of this world, good or bad. Your identity at the core of your being is this. The Father says you're his son. You're his daughter. Wow. And he says, I love you. I love you unconditionally, no matter what. I love you. The same way he feels about Jesus, he feels about you. And talk about affirmation. He says he's well pleased with you. He's proud of you. Wow. That's how he feels about you. What it would be like if we could actually believe that and receive that. You don't have to do anything to earn it. You just got to have faith to believe it and to receive it. Wow. That's how the Father feels about you. You know, this last year, I have had so many ups and downs, so many times where I'm in this grief process. Even one time I went to my counselor and says, I don't know what's wrong with me. I'm just upset and I got all this stress, but I'm not handling it like I used to, you know, or I usually do. And he goes, really? You don't understand? You're grieving. Your dad passed away 3 months ago. And I go, man, gosh. So there's ups and downs and there's emotions. Even right now, in the day that we're living in, you may just have your normal problems. Like me, I got grief over my dad. But on top of that, we've got pandemics and we've got riots and we've got injustice and we've got all kinds of economic issues and political issues. There is a massive craziness going all around us. And in the midst of it, the Father has sent me to tell you on this Father's Day that you have a perfect Father in heaven who wants to fill every gap in your heart and heal every wound in your soul. And he wants to announce to you and to the world that you are his child. He loves you and he is well pleased with you. And if you know him, if you've given your life to Jesus, that's his announcement to you. That's his declaration to you today. No matter what you're going through right now, he loves you. No matter what you're going through right now, he is pleased with you. No matter what's going on right now, he wants you to know you are his child, and he is totally alerted to what's going on and totally engaged. But if you don't know him today, the Father's arms are wide open, and he sent me today to give this message to you. Come on. If you haven't given your life to Jesus, if you haven't given your life to the Father, his arms are wide open like this. He's not pushing you back. He's not trying to make sure you did everything right. He just says, come to me. Some of you might say, but you don't know what I've done. You don't know how bad I've been. You don't know how many times I've messed up. I'm not a good person. Listen, that's exactly who God sent Jesus to the earth to save and to forgive and to bring to him. The Bible says every one of us has sinned and fallen short of what it takes to come to God on our own righteousness. We don't have it. The Bible goes on to say that the wages of our sin, or the end result of it, is death. The wages of our sin, not just death on earth, but death for eternity. But the Bible says God loves us so much, he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross, and every sin we ever committed was placed on him, and the punishment for that sin was placed upon him as well. And when he died on the cross, he said it's finished, because all sin had been paid for. And on the third day, he rose from the dead. And when he rose from the dead, he announced to everyone, hey, now there's a way where there was no way for you to be forgiven of your sins, cleansed of all unrighteousness, and beyond that, to have the righteousness of God put on your account. Come on. Oh, this is the good news. This is the amazing grace of God. And all you got to do is receive it. All you got to do is say, I believe, Jesus, you're the Son of God, died on the cross for me, rose from the dead. Forgive me of my sins. I give my life to you. If you want to do that right now, I want to lead you in a prayer. And you can be in the family. He loves you, and you can have eternal life, an abundant life right now. If that's you and you want to pray this prayer with me, pray it with me. I'll lead you in a prayer. Go ahead right there where you're at. Everybody just bow your head and let's pray together. Pray this prayer with me. Dear God, I give you my life. Forgive me of all my sins. Take it all away. I don't want to live for myself anymore. I want to live for you. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me. And thank you, Father, for loving me. Amen. Amen. Hey, if you prayed that prayer, wow, God, that's awesome. We're so excited. And listen, the pastor here wants to know that. The people here want to know that are part of this church. And so, guys, you got to let us know. Come on, you got to let us know. And so just a moment, the pastor or one of the leaders is going to come and tell you about how to let them know. Please let us know so we can rejoice with you. And we don't want you to walk alone. We're going to walk alongside of you and help you. I also want to tell you today on this Father's Day that your church loves you so much, they partnered with me to make my new book available to you today. They've purchased it for you. It's called Parenting with Purpose, 7 Keys to Raising World Changers. And in the book, I give you 7 keys of how to raise your kids up to know God, to walk with God, and to be encouraged to fulfill the calling on their life and to walk with this core understanding of identity and affection and affirmation. But here's the other side of it. Not only did your church purchase the book for you, but the masterclass I put together that goes with it, that's called Overcoming the Pain of Your Past. And in that masterclass, you're gonna be able to walk through with me. I'm gonna walk you through 11 different videos that help you to overcome the pain and the hurt, to recognize the pain and the hurt. Because some of you right now, I had a good dad. Yeah, I know, I did too. But it's when I went through the process I'm gonna take you through that I realized there were some things I needed to forgive and some things I needed healing on. And listen, you'll never be the parent you want to be until you become the son and the daughter that you want to be in him. It's very important. And so we're going to take you through that. So guess what? Today, the church is giving that to you. It's $24.99 value, but they're going to give it to you today and give it to any of the friends and family that you know that you've been praying for to come to Jesus, anybody that you know that could benefit from this. So let me tell you how it's going to happen. In just a moment, one of the leaders of the church is going to come up and tell you the code, the coupon code for you to be able to get the book and the class at no cost to you. They've covered it. And you just go to parentingwithpurposebook.com. And when you go there, it just says, hey, I'm getting the book and here's the coupon code. Put it in there. And you can tell your friends, man. Tell them, those that you're saying, hey, I want them to come to church with me. Tell them this is a gift from the church and from you as a blessing to them as a parent and with their family. Hey, God bless you. Thank you for letting me be with you today. And remember, the Father loves you and He is pleased with you.
Hey, thanks for joining us today for Harvest Online. Dads, once again, happy Father's Day. Don't forget to go online and get your free copy of Parenting with Purpose. Again, go to harvestabq.org/Father's Day, follow the instructions on the page, and then use the coupon code HARVESTABQ. Now, dads, moms, grandmas, grandpas, kids, teenagers, all of you, I'm praying for you this week. As you're going about your week, may the Lord bless you, keep you, cause His face to shine upon you, give you grace now and forever. Harvest, go be the church.